like Zach said, it's been a little while since I've been up here. Got to start with Zach on that. Zach did the fifth Sunday night talk. You know, we always have one of our fellas do the fifth Sunday night. Or fifth Sunday day, I always give them the option, whichever lesson they want, you know, time frame and so forth. But Zach probably brought the absolute best lesson I ever heard on witchcraft ever. I told him I brought one 10 years ago and I didn't do near that job. And I've never heard, like he said in the lesson, I'd never heard anyone else do a job near that good on it as well. So, you know, to follow that up, I was sort of glad, you know, James had to do the short talk on the Wednesday night, and I was kidding him. He did such a good job. They shot fireworks off. I mean, it was a plum celebration after his. So then, I was really glad I didn't have to follow it up. And then Brother Wayne, he graciously agreed to take and bring both lessons on the next Sunday. Most of you know I do teach geometry as well, and I had the week off. They give us that 1 week off, and I'd ask Wayne if he'd be willing to give me that Sunday off so I could just spend some time with family, you know, and just step away from the computer and actually have a little bit of time off. And he graciously did that for me, and he did a wonderful job. If you missed his lessons as well, any of those, you know, try to get you a recording of them. Those individuals, they did such a great job. We are truly, truly blessed here at Lakeview with men that are able to take and study and present lessons. I mean, we know this from our multi-speaker meeting as well. You know, we had quite a few of our other fellows that I've not even mentioned that did that, and they did an outstanding job. So the Lord has truly blessed Lakeview here with men, with the ability to learn, to study, and present God's Word. And we need to always keep that in our mind, that we are truly blessed because of that. And it definitely makes me very happy to know that I've always got my place covered, and know that it's covered properly. I know I said this about 3 years ago, but any time I used to take off, I always left in reserve, worried, bothered, didn't know how it would go, if things would be handled properly. And I guess this would be better than 7-8 years ago, I guess. But I know it was when her parents were still in Virginia. I told her dad asked, well, how's it going to go? And I said, you know, I ain't even worried about it. I said, I don't have to worry about it no more. I said, I know that when I leave, everything is still done perfectly in the sight of God. I said, we have got some fine men that's going to do a fine job. I said, I don't have to think about it. Not even think about it. That's truly a blessing, y'all. This morning, if I can get my clicker to work, I didn't turn it on. We're jumping back into our study of walking on our own two feet. Tells you how long I've been away. I've not even plugged it up. Yeah, forgot even how to run it up here, y'all. Walking on our own two feet. We have worked our way all the way down through temperance. The last lesson I had was on temperance, and that was a hard lesson, I think, for any of us to think about, you know, the ideal of self-control, fully controlling self, and even some of the basic things of life, like eating, drinking, and not drinking alcohol, but just excessive things. You know, letting things, you know, overwhelm us, control our time, putting too much time into things, you know, the ideal of temperance in all things. This morning, the next thing we're to add to that temperance is patience. And patience, I know for myself, is one of the hardest. It truly is. And the last time I said that I needed, you know, patience, Evan got up for the announcements at the end and amened it. You know, he pretty much said, yeah, for sure. You know, and I know I need it. And when we think of patience, there's more than one kind of patience. We need to understand that. You know, when we think of patience, oftentimes we think of having patience with others, and that is one. And I can say, in my younger days, I probably had least patience with people than anything ever. You know, we built houses for a living. We had a lot of workers, and you know, they would come in states that they shouldn't, and not able to handle things. And I didn't have a lot of patience with people, and sometimes I still don't. I have to fight myself on that. Sometimes with my own two boys, to have more patience with them, let them have more opportunity to learn and make mistakes and fix things. But there's also patience with things, you know, and you know, at times we get aggravated, you know, why this stupid thing's just not working, you know, and there's patience with that, you know, so patience with people, patience with things. And then sometimes we don't think about it, but sometimes patience with ourselves And you don't think about that too often, but that's a big one too. You know, sometimes we have less patience with our own self than anything else. So think about that. You know, when you think about patience, and it's talking about adding unto our godly life patience, just like some of these others we talked about, they're ongoing. They're not a one and done. You know, I've made mention of that multiple times. When you talk about add, you know, add to this, you know, give all diligence to add. It's not, okay, yep, I got it added, check it off, I move on. Sort of like I've got the check marks up here. No, you know, these things, they don't just simply, yep, I fixed it, I've got patience now. No, patience, you know, hopefully as you continue to mature and grow, your patience will as well. And hopefully we can see that within the lesson this morning. But yeah, you're not simply going to say, I'm going to work real hard on patience this week and I'll get that one knocked out. Yeah, it's not going to happen. That's not having patience with yourself right there to think you're going to get it done that quickly. Patience takes a lot of time. It takes time to have patience with others, patience, you know, with things, patience with yourself. You know, and I mean, this could be in 100 different ways when we think about patience. You know, Brother Terrence talked about the love like a relationship, like with your husband and your wife. Yeah, you're going to definitely have to learn to have patience with one another to grow in that. You know, patience with your children, patience with members of the church, patience with family members, you know, patience on the road. You know, anytime you're getting on the road, you're going to have to learn how to have some patience, y'all. I mean, it's rough out there when it comes to driving and the way people drive. You know, a lot of different ways. We've got to learn to have patience. Patience, I want to start with like just a regular dictionary definition. Like, I always type these in to just Google. Like Google, I'll put it up and it just pops up the definition. And I usually run with it. Sometimes I might do multiple searches like dictionary.com and Webster's and, you know, and go in a little more detail with some of them. But, you know, something like patience was pretty easy to get a definition of and then synonyms for. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Now that's a worldly definition of patience, just the ideal of what the world thinks of, the definition is. Some synonyms, you know, other words that would follow along with sort of the same purpose: forbearance, tolerance, restraint, self-restraint, resignation, stoicism, fortitude, sufferance, endurance. You know, and we're going to talk a little more in depth about this, but the world, like just a worldly definition of this, it actually falls quite short of a godly definition of this. We're going to look at the Greek. You know, that's sort of how I've been doing these lessons, is look at like a dictionary definition, like you just looked it up, and then go a little more into the word study a little bit. And there's good and bad about that. I know quite a few of our other men have started that as well, and that's definitely great for your study of your own self and study for others. It definitely gives you a better, deeper insight of what the writer was trying to get across. And I'll demonstrate that in this lesson for sure. But when you think of patience like here, you know, you can think of sitting at a red light. You know, and this happens more and more with cell phones anymore. You're sitting at a red light and it turns green. And the car in front of you is going nowhere. All right, and then, you know, you're thinking, okay, the ideal of delay, trouble, and not getting angry or upset. And then you decide you're going to get on the horn because they waited long enough. Doo, 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 doo. And then somebody beside you says, have some patience. All right. And you're like, you know, well, I'm not angry or upset. If I didn't have patience, I'd have gunned it and pushed him through the red light. You know, and that's what people would think. Okay, I had patience, but I still got on the horn. I still blew the horn, you know. And then you're thinking, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, how about if you're sitting there and you're grumbling? Where do these people get their license? Out of a Cracker Jack box? Did they have it as one of those cereal send-offs and they got their license? Why are they on the road? They need to learn how to drive. And you're just sitting there to yourself grumbling. Well, I didn't blow the horn. Are you still having patience? And I'm going to let you understand as we get ready to go into the Greek words of this, it goes a little deeper than that. And then we're going to talk about that. But when it comes to patience, if we were going to have the proper kind of patience, and I'm going to demonstrate that, it actually would be, even if they sat through an entire green light, you should be able to sit there quietly and actually think well, maybe there's something on their mind. Maybe they got a loved one in the hospital and their mind's not on the red light at the moment. Maybe they just had an argument with a loved one, sort of like Terrence was talking about. Something's more important. You know, maybe they've not slept for multiple nights dealing with somebody that's sick or something, loss of a family member or something, and they're just not focused. You know, let me have patience. And I'm going to show you that's actually a much better idea of what patience is. Not, well, I blew the horn, but I didn't ram them. Or I didn't blow the horn, but I still fussed at them. No, it's deeper than that. It's like, okay, I can make it through this. You know, and like I said, I'm going to cover it. I'm just going to show you with the words. I'm not the best with words. Sometimes I can search things up and demonstrate it better, and I can actually use words to my own self. But patience is not a simple thing in the Greek. All right, if you go back to the Greek, and there's even multiple passages that we have where patience is used like in verse 3 and then used again in verse 4. And they're two completely different words for patience. All right, so like I said, if we want to get to the Greek and the way the writers of the New Testament talks about patience, we need to understand that it's more than just typing it into Google and getting that one little definition of just sort of chilling out without getting mad at something. That there's a lot more to it than that. There's actually three separate words here in the Greeks in the New Testament. These are the three here, and I'm going to break each one of them down and look at each one of them. The first one, hupone, and it sort of sounds like hoop, H-O-O-P, and then O-M-O-N-A-Y, and that's how you pronounce it. So like hupone. But it's the Greek there of 5281, and this one will probably get you. And that's the ideal I was saying, like if you're sitting there at the red light, not even fussing at them, but thinking or being worried about them even. The actual word for patience here actually means cheerful. Now that ought to put a whole nother spin. It did for me on patience. Let me understand that I definitely need more patience. You know, not the ideal of I kept my mouth shut, but the ideal of my attitude inside my head was in a whole better place. And I can say I've got patience. You know, sometimes when we talk about, well, I had some patience, that just means we didn't open our mouth and say something we shouldn't, or fuss at somebody, or complain, or argue. But no, patience is more than that. Cheerful, hopeful, endurance, constancy, enduring, patient, continuance. All right, now that's this hupone that's here. And the reason I put this one first, and I almost thought about putting it at the end, but this is the one that's used the most. You know, so when we start thinking about the ideal of patience being the ideal of enduring things with a cheerful and hopeful attitude, this is the one that's drove home the most. As well, it's the one that is used here. 2 Peter 1 and 6, where we are right now. Add to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. This patience is the cheerful, hopeful, enduring. And also a constancy or continuing. It's not just, okay, this one time I did good. I had good thoughts. I didn't open my mouth. I didn't blow the horn. I didn't ram the car. But no, this is the ideal that this is who I am. I am this kind of person. I can endure all things and really come across having a good attitude. And I do believe that is also why it follows up temperance. Temperance, you know, was self-control. If you are able to fully control self, you can take and lead yourself to being cheerful and hopeful and able to endure things. But if you already are fighting self-control, you know, think like anger or time management, or other things that you're already fighting because you don't have yourself in control, you don't have reins on yourself, it's going to be real easy to not have patience as well. You know, if you're really not able to control the ability to lash out, whether it's mouth, hands, whatever, then yeah, you never can say you're going to have patience. So in the ideal of order, I think this one follows in perfect order. Temperance, you know, that self-control, add to yourself patience. You know, the ideal, okay, you know, I've got myself in control, and now I know I can control myself. Now let me work on that internal part, because even if I can control my actions, my words, now let me start really focusing on my thoughts, you know, really in depth. and let me try to have a better attitude about all things. Now, you know, you can think, okay, like at the red light, that's probably pretty easy to get yourself fixed. Okay, why am I trying to rush anyhow? I mean, do I have to get to Walmart that quickly? You know, do I really need to go over to Zaxby's and give me some chicken that quick? Let me just wait. Let me have a better attitude. I've got a good car. You know, I've got gas in the car. I got health. You know, I've got all these things. The Lord's blessed me well. I've got breath to breathe. You know, we could take and find that we could really make ourselves cheerful and hopeful in those kind of situations. The problem is that this word patience is not just using those menial, trivial little things that a lot of times in the world we talk about having patience with. This patience is really, and that was the ideal, if I back up, you know, to enduring, endurance, and continuance as well. It's dealing with the big things in life. Loss of life, loss of health, loss of jobs, loss of homes, loss of everything. And we need to understand, it is a steal. And still being able to have a cheerful, hopeful attitude, that's extremely hard. I mean, I'm not going to be the one up here to tell you that that's just the easy way to do it. I mean, it's just, you can accomplish that quickly. No, that's not going to happen quickly. That may be part of that that you never fight your way fully through. I don't know. I do know that I have seen people in my life that even what looks like some of the worst times that we would hope we would never face in our life, they still have a cheerful word for you. They still have a hopeful attitude in what's going on. They'll be the first to ask you if they can do something for you. You know, and them being in really bad shape themselves, I have to think that those individuals have a huge grasp on patience, or at least this word for patience and how it's used. And like I said, this is the one that's used the most by far. Some other verses, and this is what I'm going to do with each one. We're going to look at some verses for each one and where it was used, and maybe you can pick out the context and see it. Romans 5 and verse 3, it says, "And not so only, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." You know, Paul here talking to the Romans, and when he writes to the Romans, he's got a high hope of being there at Rome sometime to teach them, to discuss them, to see them. He knows a lot that went over there, knows some that went over there, and some have come back, and they've relayed messages, you know, about what's going on over there. And they're dealing with a lot at Rome. There's a lot of just filth that happens at Rome. There's a lot of problems at Rome, just the government alone, and a lot of persecution toward the Jews in particular. There's, you know, these little mini wars with the Jews and Rome back and forth and stuff that pops up. They're having a hard time. And Paul, when he writes this, and he's using this word, you know, like I say, a cheerful, hopeful nature, you know, he says, you know, we glory. Now, when we think glory, that's the ideal of sort of finding, you know, even comfort. And I know that's hard to think, but when you talk about, you know, will we glory in that, like it's something that we accept as almost as we accept it as a good thing. All right, and he says, we glory in tribulation, knowing tribulation worketh patience. If we didn't have to deal with the bad, nothing would seem good. We need to understand that. If everything in life was perfect, we would not appreciate anything. We would not appreciate anything we have, anything we get, anything that would happen. We wouldn't appreciate anything because everything's just good. But the bad makes the good so sweet. And he's making the point that you know, we need to understand that bad things will happen to all of us. We need to understand that it's going to. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be death. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. But if we understand that we got the right attitude about everything, those terrible things are for our benefit. They will help us grow. They will help us become a more mature child of God. They will make us more, you know, precious and more, you know, of greater value to God. And that's what Paul's trying to stress to them. They're in a bad place, and they're having to deal with a lot of bad things. But Paul's telling them it's not all bad. It's going to help you grow. But it is that endurance, but enduring with this cheerful, hopeful nature. 2 Corinthians 12:12, you know the Corinthians, same thing. They had a lot of problems to deal with. A lot of problems within the body of Christ even. Even problems with them even accepting Paul as an apostle. So here in 2 Corinthians 12:12, he talks about the work that he did. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So, you know, within the writings of the letters to the Corinthians there, Paul has to defend himself as an apostle. He does that over and over because there's some Jewish people that have come over, very well, you know, spoken individuals, very good looking individuals. And we got to understand, Paul is a very capable man when it comes to speaking. But, with the problems that he has in the flesh, you know, whether that's the vision, some talk about, you know, the vision, maybe that's the thorn in the flesh. I know that he probably doesn't look the best. He's definitely has to have major scars. We know he does. He was stoned and left for dead. And they're not going to take and leave a man if his head looks like it's completely clean and pure, because they know they didn't kill him, but just throwing stones at his body. So we know his head, his face is you know, been busted up. You know, all the times, and you can go back to chapter 11, read all the beatings that he's had with rods and stripes that's been put across him, the hunger, the thirst, the shipwrecks. You know, poor Paul isn't the best looking fellow. We need to realize that. He's beat down. But he talks about the work that he worked with them in all patience. And that includes the writings, you know, when he's wrote to them, the response that he's got back, the things that he's heard from them. You know, and it's the idea that he's dealing with it, but in a cheerful and hopeful nature as well. And I think when he started this second letter, you know, at the very beginning, if you go back and read, he talks about writing it in tears. You know, the idea that even him having to fuss at them, it's hurtful to him. You know, but he's very hopeful that they're going to fix everything, and they're going to be what God expects them to be. Colossians 1 and verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. You know, you can sort of see why this word patience was used, and then joyfulness at the end. Long-suffering with joyfulness. That's really what this word patience in the Greek, you know, actually means. This cheerful, hopeful endurance. You know, so when he uses this, you know, talking about strength with the Almighty according to his glorious power, there's this patience and long suffering, but being happy about it. You can almost see, you know, when Paul writes about coming to the end of his life and he's fought that good fight and he's endured to the end. That's actually the next verse from where Seth was reading. You know, the idea that he's fought the good fight, you know, that he's actually really filled with joy. You know, I have endured. Yeah, it's been tough, but it's been a good road. You know, and when you think, like, go back to, you know, 2 Corinthians 11 and look at that list and think about how rough a road it really was for him, but he still has such a great attitude about it. I can't say that about myself. In James 5 and 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But notice it says, we count them happy which endure. And again, we see why this word patience here, this hupone, is used in the same sentence as happy which endure. It's more than just say, okay, I kept my mouth shut, I wasn't a mean, nasty person. But it's also that, you know, you've got a very good attitude about it. And why do you think they use the example of Job here? Didn't Job really have a very good attitude? Naked came I into this world, naked I'll go back out. You know, okay, I lost everything, but hey, that's life. You know, I'm not going to curse God and die for this. No, I'm going to give God the glory and everything that's due unto him, not just, you know, because I've lost everything, but it's rightfully due unto God, and I'm just a man. You know, he had a great attitude, and that's why it says, ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, as in you see the fulfillment of what happened with Job. You know, if you read to the end of Job, you see he had probably more then than he ever did at the beginning. I got to thinking about that mostly just this morning. You know, think about Job. You know, you can tell that his children were all of a fairly old age. You know, them getting together in the parties and things sort of on their own. You know, so it wasn't like they were just all little kids that he lost. And then his wife, you know, his wife is one of many years, you can tell. She's been his wife. And he's really lost all of his close family and then all of his other worldly goods. But think about patience and this continuance and endurance. Okay, Job had to get over the first little hurdle of I've lost them all. All right, but think, do you think that he got a new wife immediately? I doubt it. You know, he probably took some time before he met another woman or took another woman as a wife. All right, and then there was a list of children, you know, really children as much if not more than he had before. Beautiful daughters it talks about. Wouldn't that take quite a bit more time? You know, you start thinking 20 years to get him back up to probably where he lost him to begin with. You know, so you're thinking about time, over time, him thinking about getting back to where he was. It wasn't like, I've got them all back. Look at there. I praise God, everything's back instantly. It was over time. So when you get to the end of the book and you're thinking about all the things that Job had and received back, it was over a long period of time. You know, and that means he had great patience. He was cheerful and hopeful throughout the loss, throughout the gaining, the time that it took to get everything back. There's more to Job than you think when it comes to the patience of Job. More than just, okay, I'm enduring and I've kept my mouth shut. I've not said anything ugly. That internal battle that he had was also a great thing. Revelations, talking about really, you know, coming toward the end, the Christians there and the Roman rule and the power and the persecution that they were going to deal with. It says, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. And the last to be more than the first. Now this is unto Thyatira. And it is one of those churches that he's got good and bad to say. This is the good. And he then goes into verse 20. But I've got something to say, you know, about Jezebel and, you know, her means of pulling people away and different things. But notice that one of the things that he mentions here is this word patience. This cheerful, hopeful endurance. You know, that they're going through all the persecution, trials, and troubles that some of these others are going to fall for. But they have a good attitude about it. And they're working. They have love. They've got faith in their service. But they got a good attitude as they endure. You know, there's hopeful, cheerful endurance. You know, internal, it is sometimes much harder to deal with than external. We can put on a good external show, you know, but internal, being proper, is much harder in a lot of ways. Revelations 14, verses 12 through 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So you see the idea of resting from their labor, but it says here is the patience of the saints. That's a cheerful, hopeful endurance to the very end. And he's writing to those that are really, he's telling, it's going to get bad. And they're going to kill you. And it's not just a simple death. They're going to take and mutilate you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to use your family against you. They're going to do some of the worst, evil, most terrible things ever to try to get you to blaspheme God. But if you endure to the end, then you're going to be blessed. And it says, you know, here they can find their rest from their labors. But they're patient, that cheerful, hopeful endurance. Now let's talk about one of the other words. There's two more, and both of these are on a much smaller scale than the other one. But this is Mokroth. Omeo, and that's about the best it could. I wrote it out, but knowing that I'm not the best English person anyhow. But this means to bear long, be long-suffering, to be patient, or patiently endure. Now, again, this is very similar to the other one, but the other one was very interesting in the idea of cheerful and hopeful in it. You know, this is the idea of actually enduring and making it through, and the other one's more the idea of doing it with a good attitude, fighting yourself on that. Now, this one's only used three times, so I've actually got all three verses here. The first one is Matthew 18:26, And it's brought up again in the same little parable in verse 29 we're going to click on in a second. But Matthew 18, 26, and then 29. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, if you want to get the whole story on this, this is where he's brought up, and he owes quite a big debt. And he says, just have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And then he goes to someone that owes him something, verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, say, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. This is the ideal of bear along with me. Give me some time, put up with me. Give me, you know, a little bit more time to fulfill whatever it is. But yeah, again, you know, this isn't so much the cheerful, hopeful ideal of me trying to overcome through. This is actually the ideal of bearing long. Give me some time, work with me. That kind of patience. Another one, James 5 and verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. This truly is just long suffering. You know, be patient therefore, brethren. Endure. Make it to the end. Give it everything you've got. Stay faithful to the end. You know, and he goes on to say, you know, the harvest is at the end. You know, but it takes, you know, keeping the bugs off the trees. You know, taking and working the ground. You know, talking about these fruit trees. You know, it's bearing fruit. You know, Seth said he needed him a little lemon tree this year. And it's covered in lemons. And we've had to dig a hole. And I made him do the digging. Made him put all stuff around it. He's got some fertilizer he's got to put on it this week. And, you know, he's learning that you got to have patience with these things. He loves lemonade. And that's why he wanted a lemon tree. You know, but you don't just buy the tree and all of a sudden you got you a jug of lemonade. It's going to take some time. You know, and that's the point that's being used here with James. It's just like our entire life. We want heaven. We all do. We all want to go to heaven. We want to be with God. We want to you know, just flow in the glory and wonder of eternity with him. But we got to be patient. We got to deal with all the stuff here in this life, the pain, the sorrow, the suffering, the loss. We got to deal with everything here. We got to do it with a good attitude. We got to be cheerful. We got to be hopeful. We got to have that insight that if we can make it to the end, everything's so much better. But if you give up now, there is no better ending. It just gets worse. If you don't endure now, you'll never be able to endure later. Yeah. Makes me think of my granddaddy. My granddaddy was probably 60 years old, and we got an 18, 19-year-old boy come out, and my papa worked him under the desk, as you would say, under the table that day. And he got up and he said, Mr. Steele, you know, he said, I can't wait till I can get old like you so I can work like you. And he said, son, if you ain't there yet, you'll never get there. You know, and that's sort of how it is, you know. If we think, okay, we want heaven, but we're not willing to endure to get it, you got to start thinking, is it really worth it to us? If it's really worth it to you, you'll fight through everything. And then, like I say, as we grow and mature with that, we'll learn to fight through it with a good attitude. Another, and this one is more of a, like a build off of the last word. It's, and you'll see this, it's mach rathumiah, though. All right, so it's just a little difference. It's an ending. You know, it's like, you know, like we talk about Spanish, male, female, different things. But it's got a little bit more on there. Forbearance. Fortitude. That word fortitude. You know, when we had the dictionary definition, that come up in that. Fortitude. You know, that's that strengthening to have fortitude. Like you cannot break through what I've set up. All right. So there's a little more with that. Now this is only used two times. So you see the use of the first one a lot, like 29, 3, 2. You see why that one's so important and the cheerful, hopeful part of that. The two verses. Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, there's the ideal of fortitude, long-suffering. They understood what was at stake, and they kept themselves to the very end. That's fortitude. You can't change me. You can't redirect me. I know where I'm going. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to do everything I can get there, and you are not going to change that. That is fortitude. And that's his patience here. The ideal of having patience is, you know, even like when you get to that red light and you know, you're rushing, You know, and I got to go, and that car is sitting there, and you're just like, I want to blow in the horn. I want to fuss. I want to scream. You understand, nope, I've got a bigger purpose in this life. I want to go to heaven. I'm going to be the person I'm supposed to be. That's fortitude. And I mean, that's just one example I keep going back to. But James 5 and 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. You know, we just got off the prophets, didn't we? The minor, we talked, you know, back and forth about the major. When we were talking about the minor, they endured so much, just like the Apostle Paul. They endured so much. They went through pain, suffering, rejection from everybody, including their family, and they still stayed faithful. They still stayed faithful. You know, but that's the ideal of their patience. They had the fortitude to say, the Lord is right. I don't want to tell my people that destruction's coming, but I've got to. I've got to stand on what God said. I'm not changing it for anything. Fortitude. So as we start closing out, patience. If we take and, you know, put all three words together, we see this ideal of a progression, right? You know, forbear, bear long, long-suffering, endure. That's sort of the part of a patience that we all understand, right? All right, I just got to get through this. You know, we'll say that. All right, okay, I got to get through it. I'm going to bear long, or I'm going to have long suffering. I'm going to endure. You know, then we got another part of these words that pop up. Fortitude, continuance, and constancy. This is the ideal of not just if I can get through this. It's a little more than that. It's the ideal that I am going to change who I am. I'm going to be a better individual, so no matter what comes up, I can go through it. And it's really the ideal of I am going to go through it because I understand the end game, the end picture of it all. All right, so yeah, I'm going to endure, I'm going to bear, I'm going to go through all this, but that's because I know that I've got to. I know what's at the end, and I'm going to fortify myself so I can get to the end. And then the last part, and I think this is the hardest part of that, is once I've made that decision that I am going to get there, I've got to teach myself how to do it with a cheerful and hopeful attitude. And again, you know, like I said, I know I need to work with patience. And sometimes I've learned a little better to bite my tongue instead of fuss and argue. But it's a whole nother ball game to bite your tongue and still have a good attitude about it inside. You know, that's a whole different thing right there. And if we're going to have the patience that we're supposed to add to be the godly person we're supposed to be, that's where we're going to have to go. And we need to understand that's with patience with others, patience with things, problems, trials, tribulations, and patience with self. You got to have patience with yourself. And you need to have a good attitude about that. If you tear yourself down so bad, nobody can ever build you back up. In conclusion, definitely patience is more than just tapping her foot and keeping her mouth shut. You know, people say that, oh, I had patience, I didn't say a word. It's more than that. We need to understand it is definitely more than that. It is enduring till the end of all tribulations. No matter what's thrown at us, no matter how many fiery darts of the devil get slung at us, we will overcome. We will endure. And we're going to have the fortitude to take and set ourselves up for that victory, to be able to overcome. But it's also learning how to endure with joy in our hearts and a smile on her face. And that's tough. Like I said, this one is a very hard thing to add. You're not going to be able to just say, okay, but next Sunday, Verlin, I've got this one whooped. No. Maybe by the end of your life, when it's your time, you can say, I've learned to have patience. This hasn't been a lesson on first principles. I don't believe there's anyone here that hasn't obeyed the gospel that's of age. But you know, maybe you have obeyed the gospel, you've turned back into the world, you've give up on fighting that good fight of faith, you've lost patience when it comes to, you know, taking and getting to the end, and you've decided to give up. Make that right. Come back unto God while you have time and opportunity today. Don't let the time escape from you. Or if you need the prayers of Christians, feel free to come forward and let us pray for you. Let us understand what you're fighting, and let us be there for you. This morning, if we can help you in either case, we'd be glad to if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.